Hey, Gary.
Yes.
Hey, do you want to do a podcast with me where we explore queer topics?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yes.
Hey, and let's call it Queernundrum.
Oh my God. Yes.
Awesome.
Please listen carefully.
Hello, and welcome to our show, Queernundrum, where we strive to bring the queer community together, the LGBTQAI+, by giving you guys a voice and a platform. So that's who we are. That's what we do. I'm your host, Holly Ray Greystone.
And I'm your other fabulous host, Gary M. Thorne Jr.
Thank you so much for letting us entertain your ears, and thank you so much for liking and subscribing to our show. It does help tremendously. We just hit a new milestone. By the time you listen to this episode, if you are following our social media accounts, you will have already know this, but we had one of our episodes reach its first milestone of 100 downloads. So hell yeah, that's so cool.
Woohoo!
So cool that Gary had to call me in the middle of a project, and I am quite literally up to my wrist in paint.
Yeah,
you cannot see the skin of my hands at all. I should have wore gloves. I was covered in paint, and he's calling me, and I'm not going to touch my technology when I'm covered in paint, but it was important to Gary to tell me about what you all did for us. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys. If this is your first time catching our show, please like and subscribe. It doesn't hurt you, but it does help our community because it gets our podcast in front of more people who we can interact with and continue to grow our community by creating a place that is safe, creating dignity and respect for our community. But before we go into
please rate and review us.
Yes, this does help potential sponsors.
And it just helps talk about getting your word out for the queer community. It really does. The more, the farther we get up then, basically, what's going on.
This is true. Basically, what Gary's alluding to here is algorithms. We utilize the algorithms that basically run our social medias and podcasts and everything like that. It basically tells the algorithm, good old Al, hey, queer community, here's something that you might like that will make you happy. And that's what we strive for. So by liking, subscribing, rating, and reviewing, that is exactly what we tell the good old Al. So you doing that helps us tremendously. Thank you so much. If you're listening to this and you're interested in sponsoring our shows or having an ad run in our show, email us at queernundrum@queernundrum.com. That is a queer nun, the drum on the end, at queernundrum.com. So queernundrum@queernundrum.com. You're welcome. I have a piece of art I might just throw up on a social media that I made one night. It was fun. You're welcome. I'll drop it this Saturday for you guys. But before all of the goodness that we're about to get into for our show, Gary, hey, you have a big thing happening this Tuesday.
Yes. So it is tomorrow in our time. For your time, it'll already have happened by the time you get this, but I go in for my weight loss surgery tomorrow morning, and we were getting it all planned. We're just, because nothing in where we live in Gunnison, which is a beautiful little town, but nothing is close by. We're kind of in the middle of nowhere. All right. The nearest bigger city, which is about the size of Pullman, the next one for us, it's a bigger city.
Oh my God, that's right. You are smaller than Pullman. So Pullman is like 35,000 to 40,000 people.
And the place that we could go to that's a little bit bigger, it's right at the 35, 40,000 mark.
Okay.
But that's an hour and a half away, basically. Yeah. So there's not a lot there. I mean, there's stuff there, but so we have to, where my surgery is in Grand Junction, which is 3 hours away. So my surgery was scheduled for 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I had to be, and Gene and I both had to be in Grand Junction because he's my support person for this.
Right. We've established support person.
Yeah, not you.
It's, not me.
It's
but
Dean.
Your actual husband. Okay, fine.
We had to leave here by 5 a.m. because we had to be there by 8 to give them 2 hours for all the prep shit and get me in, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So
okay.
So then I got a call today, not asking me, telling me
you.
That my surgery had been moved to 8 a.m., which means that Dean and I are getting a place to stay tonight in Grand Junction because there's no way in hell we're going to start on the road at 3 a.m.
Yeah, that is presumptuous language. They by doing that, you don't even get a chance to be like, no,
yeah,
I don't want to be there that early. You're like, well, by the way they told me, that means we go now.
Well, see, the thing about it was Dean and I were going, okay, because of all the stuff that has gone on a little bit in the past, which I've never talked about here and probably won't at this point.
Fair.
There's a little bit of financial issues going on. And so I thought, well, you know, this is no big deal. So we'll leave, you know, we'll leave at 5 a.m. for the surgery. So no big deal. We'll save a little money. Only Dean has to stay in a motel room one night. That's fine. No, okay. So we can do this. It makes life better. And so then, of course, me saying that jinxed the whole process. I should have known that's the word. So, so then all of a sudden it was like getting a hold of the dog and cat sitter, making sure that I also go, okay, wait, do I have all my medicines? Because the medicines I have to have before surgery and after surgery that I just got from them with copays, mind you, cost me $50.
Okay.
Which, I mean, it was like, Jesus, for honestly, that's a lot for the amount I got. And I'm like going, and so then I had to make sure, okay, some of these I have to take a day before, some of them have to take within an hour. Some
their
of them
change
take,
of your schedule drastically changes your schedule.
And so then the other thing, because I don't want to have to, because you know me, I worry about, there's things stupid shit I worry about. And so I'd already gotten this big container of apple juice because they want me to drink some apple juice right before I was leaving for the hospital.
They want to get you to be hydrated and to have your carbs up. And
so I thought, okay, I'm gonna get this. I don't really like apple juice. I'm not a big fan of juices overall. But so I got some apple juice because I thought, okay, a big thing, apple juice. Right, well, Dean loves apple juice. So after I have my 20 ounces of apple juice I need, then Dean can drink the rest of it and he'll just be a happy camper. So all of a sudden now I got to lug this big jug of apple juice with me to Grand Junction to get the fucking 20 ounces of apple juice I need for tomorrow morning.
Right. So, oh my gosh.
And so I needed antibacterial soap. So I had to go buy antibacterial soap.
That's right. Because you got to wash your belly button before.
In particular my belly button, but they want me to shower tonight. And then again in the morning with this antibacterial soap. And not wear deodorant. That's really going to bother me. But yeah. So.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I have to do all that. So I had to make sure I had that. And I have to bring my, had to make sure to get my CPAP machine. All of a sudden, because I wasn't, when I was
you
in Rogers.
You were prepared. But
I
now
was prepared
this
for
changed,
a one-day thing.
But
now
it's like,
oh shit, now I got to get this and this and this along with it.
If anybody who's listening to this as a parent will understand this even more so. It's like, this is what I feel like, or even like a pet owner. It's like, hey, we're going to go do this thing. We're going to go see our parents. We're going to go wherever. I don't know. You're going to travel and you have a set amount of days. You've counted out your vitamins, counted out your prescription. You have it all prepped and organized and you literally have less than 12 hours and you got to change the entire thing and add more or take something away in order to pack it and go.
Well, and then of course we have our podcast that we're doing it tonight. And that's like I text you. Because I couldn't get a hold of you, but whatever.
I don't know what the deal was with that because I had my phone on and because like sometimes when I'm busy with a client or something, I will put it on do not disturb. Yeah. I had that turned off so that I wouldn't have calls come in and people did call me. I was able to take those calls. I didn't silence you because I was physically able to get to my phone without it being painted or covered. Although I can't say the same thing to my hair, which I'll get into in just a moment.
Dean is in charge of a meeting. He's in charge of meetings on Monday night. So
okay,
all this stuff is going on. With, oh, no big deal. You know, we're not going to sleep much tonight
time.
Anyway.
Well, fine. No, you don't have to worry about it. It's fine. It's fine. It's like, as somebody from a medical facility says, hey, by the way, you're here at 8 now and you don't have a choice.
Well, no, and my surgery is at 8, so I have to be there by 6 now. 6. So that makes it. And right. So, you know, in customer service world, it's you call them up and say, okay, so we have this new appointment time.
Right.
Could you make it by then?
Or they say something along the lines of like, hey, we have an emergency surgery that is being prepped for first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
We're going to roll right into this. We really need you to be here. It doesn't change what you have to do, but at least there's a little more of like, okay, there's a why. There's a good why. I'm down for that.
And keep in mind, they know I live in Gunnison. It's in part of all my records.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You're assuming they actually read that shit.
Oh, they had to, because it's all right there. It says,
no, you're assuming scheduling had to have read that and know that you are X number of hours away. And I have worked in the medical field for a number of years, and I can tell you, I don't always look at the address to know, yes, they can make it here. When I became a scheduler and I had to schedule my doctors back to back and like make sure like it was maximizing the schedule, I did pay close attention to that. It was like, this person I know is like 5 minutes away. I can get them in right now. This person's 30 minutes away. Probably not going to get them in right now unless they're literally around the corner.
So that was that's been my joy today. All of a sudden just rethinking everything and getting that all ready. And of course I'm excited, a little nervous about the whole process now. And
you seem super hopeful though. You seem like you're in good spirits. Yeah.
Well, if you read my blog, you would know exactly how I feel about it.
Okay. You want to throw some shade at me? I had been up since 5 o'clock in the morning, super stressed out because I'm sorry, before I get into my little thing here, are you done? I didn't want to interrupt you because I could get on my tangent too.
Like you don't anyway, but whatever. You know?
I am trying to be better.
Oh, well, I'm thinking about it.
Please.
We have a new listener, Rob Thomas, who is one of Dean's former students.
Okay.
And I want to thank you, Rob, for listening. He loved the story. Do you remember in the previous, one of the previous episodes where we talked about your Christmas sweatshirt? And the dog peeing.
Yes.
He made a point on my Facebook page to say how funny that was. So
he's
really enjoying this.
You know what? Just for you, when I get home in about 2 weeks, I will find that sweater and I will take a picture of it. And I will figure out how to tag you in that sweater. That's just awful sweater that I love so much.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No. And he thought that was, he singled that out. So I thought you'd appreciate that.
Appreciate that. Because here's the thing. I understand that our show is not for everyone. And even though we target like our community, there's some things I will say or things that Gary will say that I'll be like, oh my gosh, what? And then there will be other things that people will love. So I appreciate that someone else also loves my ugly sweatshirt for Christmas. I will share that with you, my friend. Thank you so much for joining our show. I appreciate it.
No, we have a fairly huge quote unquote straight audience, which I'm
which you know what?
I'm
Here's
loving,
the thing.
But
we will never accomplish anything in terms of civil rights or just general dignity of the human species if people across the aisle, air quotes around here, because I don't know if you really qualify as that, but for example, Black Lives Matter, the rights of people of color will not come to fruition if non-people of color stand up and do something about it. That means our people who are white or identify as white need to be a part of that conversation, be a part of those votes, be a part of those policies, be a part of the support structure. And the same thing is true of the LGBTQ community. We're not going to get anything passed legislation if we don't have our fellow human beings who identify as homosexual individuals. So the fact that our audience happens to also be beautiful homosexual individuals is phenomenal because I really want you guys to be a part of the conversation. I want you to help. I want to help you understand the language and the culture of who we are as your fellow human beings so that you can strive to treat those individuals with dignity and respect, and vice versa, those individuals treating you with the dignity and respect. If I can help, if anything, at the end of the day, help those conversations happen, I know that we have achieved something with our podcast. So I love it. Thank you so much. We are also going to have, because of our social media, we have questions that we'll be answering at the end of our show here in our Core Corner. So stay in through the end of our episode so you can hear some of those questions that were asked. And we're going to be bringing on one of our first hosts or first guests. And it will, sorry, we are the host.
Yeah, Brandon, you're not hosting the show.
We're not bringing it up. Although, who knows? We might just retire Gary out of this. No, just kidding. But it's a surprise, but we're looking. Because of social media, we're very likely going to have our first guest on our show here soon. So check us out on our social media.
Next week.
It should be next week. Yes, for sure. But my point is, do follow us on our social media, because that's where we engage you all in the middle of the week and where we glean topics for our podcast, which is...
Yeah, I know we talk about this all at the end, but also if you're on Twitter, find us on... Queernundrum One.
We could not get Queernundrum Podcast, unfortunately. And there is a non-business entity that does have a Queernundrum as their name. It's not a very active account, if I recall correctly, when I engaged it at the time. But I have trademarked this name. This name is also LLC. I have also trademarked the logo for Queernundrum. So we are a proprietary brand. Ninja signs. Ha 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 ha. You're welcome.
All right. We should let you talk about what's going on with your weeks.
So you're like, hey, you haven't read my blog. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. I had Presumptuous Language by the flooring company. I have a flooring company who called me on Thursday of last week and said, hey, we want to come tomorrow to do floors. Is that cool? Called me on the phone. I tell them, no, because I'm painting. And that was it. I just left it. It's like, no, because I'm painting, but thank you. That told that individual, like, yeah, okay, that's cool. We will just keep our regular schedule, because they know that painting and brand new carpets do not mix. However, I have two different floor orders. I have a carpet order and I have a vinyl floating floor going in the kitchen laundry room area. That particular order did not call me, did not inform me until Sunday morning and said, hey, we're going to be there on Monday at 8 a.m.
Do you want to name them?
I don't want to name
them. Okay, just checking.
Yeah. No, it actually worked out. But here's the thing. That still doesn't work out for me, because they were going to put in the kitchen floors, essentially. My cabinets were delayed because natural disasters, which are becoming an everyday occurrence, had delayed shipment. So it is coming today. So they will not be installed if they had come this morning at 8 a.m. So they can't put you cannot put cabinets on top of a floor that literally moves, because your cabinets should not move. If your cabinets are moving, you better be on a boathouse or an RV and it is just flexing with the structure. Otherwise, if you're in a building on land, it should not be moving. So they can't put the floors in. Anyway.
So wait, after all your painting and stuff like that, they can't do them anyway.
I called them, their Presumptuous Language, and I called them and I said, hey, I got this message on a Sunday. You're not open Saturday and Sunday, so I can't call you to tell you how bad this is, how bad of an idea this is. Here's why. You can't put cabinets on a floating floor, because it will void out the warranty and the cabinets won't be installed properly. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, that is bad. I was like, I know, I'm telling you, this is bad. So they called the company they contracted through, and they called me and they're like, hey, we understand there's a thing. And I'm like, yeah, there's a thing. You assume that you can just install, you can move the schedule up 2 days and do this. And they're like, oh, no. We'll change it back to Wednesday. We are very sorry. We'll see you on Wednesday. And I was like, perfect. The company is myflooring.com. And I will tell you this. I have had six conversations with them, from ordering to scheduling, all that. And they have been the most professional, loving, caring, and respectful human beings that I've had to deal with on a project that I don't actually get to physically see and meet these individuals. And yes, there was a slight scheduling thing, but they took care of it and I was greatly appreciated. So myflooring.com has delivered, and the pricings are pretty reasonable. It actually was more cost effective to have them do it than me order the materials to stretch out the carpet properly and tack it in and all that. So cost effective. Yeah. You, my friend, Gary M. Thornton Jr., called me and or at least tried to call me. And then you texted me and then you sent me a blog. Mind you, I had drywall mud crusted into the hair follicles of my head. So I was showering and did not have time to read your blog, but I will be reading your blog and updating it to our website and adding the SEO and meta tags and all the beautiful things that need to go into our website. I apologize to anyone who has seen our website since then, because I have not taken the time to dive into the whole thing of websites. Let me just tell you this. It is easy to do when you know how to do it, which I do, because that's what I do at ccsempowerment.com. We build websites and we teach people how to do it. However, that is what I mainly do, is I teach people how to do their website. I don't spend time on my own website. I'm working on it. It will happen. I'm uploading our episodes to it and our blogs to it and all that cool stuff. But I'm also studying for a project management certification.
So soon, Char can listen to our podcast from the web.
From the website.
From our website.
Yep.
Which will be good.
It'll be good. But I'm also, I DM a D&D session. I play D&D. You know, I read books. I have a wife. So, hey, I will get to the website. I love you guys. Thank you so much for your patience. Appreciate it.
Whatever.
And even more importantly than all the shenanigans that we've just spent the last 15 minutes on, happy belated St. Patty's Day to all the fellow Irish folk out there. I hope you had a wonderful, lucky Irish day, and that you nobody pinched you. And if they did pinch you, they better have kissed you on the cheek. But it's COVID, so.
Which cheek?
Dealer's choice.
Okay. So up until just recently, I was always told by my family that I was part Irish, that there was some Irish blood in me.
Did they lie to you?
So, and up until recently, I had, you know, whichever one it is, I did one of the tests. Ancestry, yeah. So it showed I had some Irish blood in me. It kept going down. Now there's no, I have no Irish blood in me at all.
What,
I'm Scottish.
How did you mean it goes down? Genetics don't change. Either you are or you're
more,
not.
Oh, calm down. It meant that as they got more information, they realized I have Scottish ancestry, but I don't have any Irish ancestry. So I lost all my Irish ancestry. So I can't use that.
You didn't lose it. That is, it implies that you had it. You're saying that scientifically, as the data accumulated, the hypothesis was proven incorrect. You do not, in fact, have Irish ancestry.
I know. So all these years, I was told I was Irish, that I had Irish in me, and I don't have any.
I want you guys to know right now, I called it.
How? For what?
You're not Irish. I get along with everyone that has some sort of Irish. I'm just totally fucking with you guys.
Oh, then bite me.
This
has been a great podcast.
Yes. Thank you so much for listening to our show. I did the ancestry thing as well. I am Irish. In fact, so my mom told me, like, okay, we're a quarter this or a quarter that, we're this, that. And I got the results back and it was pretty spot on. I was like, good job for word of mouth in the family, because we know if you ever play the game phone, that doesn't always work out. But this actually turned out. So Scottish, cool. Irish, Cornish, Welsh, Danish, French. Thanks, Dad. So definitely got that Irish in there. I mean, my maiden name was very Irish. Now, not very Irish. It's more of a European-ish now.
But I remember Dean, when he saw my stuff from Ancestry, he goes, "You're one of the whitest people I've ever met." Because I have nothing from France. I am literally, there's some Scottish, English, Swede.
That is very, yes. Very white. And and rightly so, equatorially speaking, there is no reason why people from that region should have developed enough melatonin in their skin to have any color in their skin. It just is a it just biologically makes sense. If you don't already know this, our skin pigment is denoted by the fact of our relationship to the equator on our planet. The melatonin in our skin, the color, protects us from the sun. It's a defense mechanism. It is a biological awesomeness. It should be celebrated. The fact that we can even do that as a species is awesome. Anyway, I could go on a tangent on so many things with that one, but we should really jump into
Let's move into our actual our I'm show. Enjoying this, though. We could just say,
we could just do a whole entire show on our chicanery right here, but let's not. So our
on our chicanery?
Chicanery.
Oh, I thought you said shit cannery.
No, chicanery. Chicanery? Shincuttery. If you listen to the McElroy Adventure Zone
put the drink down.
Podcast, right? I should. It's all whiskey on ice. They talk about chicaneries too. So anyway, moving on. Our conundrum is the women of Stonewall. So
Really, but I think what we wanted to say with this is it's the women of Stonewall. And if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sorry,
please.
But it's the women of Stonewall. And why has it taken so long for them to be recognized fully, especially in the documentaries and mainstream films?
And this, very, very important notion there. So let's just talk about just a very brief highlight of what Stonewall, what are we referring to when we talk about Stonewall? And we'll get more in depth on Stonewall in general in future episodes, but just to kind of highlight on what it is. Stonewall, also known as the Stonewall Riots or the Stonewall Uprising, it was a series of demonstrations by members of our community, the LGBTQ community, in response to police raiding establishments because they were gay, because they had gay people there. And it's like, oh, Stonewall Inn was an establishment in New York that was largely owned by the mafia.
Can I tell you that the name of the family that owned it was the Genovese crime family.
There you go. Now, why is that? Why was it a gay bar? Why is that association? Well, largely because people who belonged to the LGBT community were considered criminals. And so what happens when you start putting people into a group? They start to end up building relationships and working together. And it was one of the few places that were safe for people to come together. So that was kind of like a general highlight there. This particular series of events started in June 28th of 69. Mature individual here.
It's weird. Not too long after my brother was born. My brother was born June 2nd, 1969. Hi, David.
Anyway, moving on. So we have these establishments. We have police, largely white hetero individuals committing a lot of the bullshit we're even seeing today against black bodies was also occurring with our LGBTQ community. They were wrongfully arresting people, convicting them, charging them with crimes, blah, 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 blah. So they show up. They're like, hey, we're going to cause some shit. We're going to arrest people. They arrest this individual named Stormy. Remind me their last name?
Delavari.
So we'll get into Stormy. They're one of the individuals that we're getting into. But basically, Stormy's being arrested and thrown into the back of a police vehicle.
And can I back up just a little bit?
Yeah.
I think we just need to make sure to understand that the Stonewall Inn, which was really did cater to the fringe of the queer community at the time.
Yes.
Well, I remember transgendered wasn't even a word.
Transgender was, yes, that's true. So historically speaking, transvestite was the word and terminology used
What's just that? A man dressing as a woman could get themselves arrested.
Yes. So even if they were a heterosexual individual who dresses a man, dresses a woman, excuse me, drag, got a lot of the abuse on that end as well.
If they weren't performing, I should say that. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Holly.
No, you're totally fine. This is part of our dichotomy. We go back.
I know.
We share the combo. It's all good. It's all good. Anyway, so, it was like a flyby, like, here's Stonewall in a nutshell. So this individual is being arrested and thrown into a vehicle. And this is a series. There were a series of events that led up to this, like other abusive behavior by the police. But this was like the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. And so this thing's happening. And there are individuals that regularly visit this establishment. They're like, fuck this shit. Someone throws a brick. Someone drops a brick on a car. There is all this stuff that starts to happen. And the citizens that
can I say, sorry, the dropping of the brick on a police car was the next night.
Oh, it was the next night.
I'm sorry. I just want to make sure we're not.
You're fine. But the first night there was a throwing of the brick. That's like denoted as like,
well,
this is,
and what it's more and more as it's gone along, it started with Stormy. Stormy was the one who just finally said, fuck it. I refuse to leave. I'm doing nothing wrong. And you are taking me out of this place, because Stormy is a butch lesbian. And so she was dressed as a male, and she was like, fuck it. I'm not leaving here. I know you want to go. I just want to say it. I know we're going to wonder.
Start with Stormy, and then we'll roll into the next.
All right. So this butch lesbian was being drug out by four police officers.
That's not excessive by any means.
But she got away from them four times, and they had to drag her out every single time. Four times it took them to get her out.
Damn. I would like to have them on my rugby team. He tried to tackle me.
Well, you know, just besides, and this is getting, but she literally, until the age of 85, was a bouncer.
Oh, my gosh. I believe that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. It says, in the 80s and 90s, she worked as a bouncer for several lesbian bars in New York City. But what?
Hold on. Time out. Stormy, one of the icons of Stonewall, is a bouncer at an establishment that you are visiting, you better straight up respect. There is no, like, I'm sorry, you just can't be a dumbass. First of all, don't be a dumbass to your elders, but also don't be a dumbass to fellow human beings. Thirdly, don't be a dumbass to an icon that contributed to our history of civil rights. Just saying. Like, don't fuck with that person.
Well, that's a perfect way to lead into the fact that most of us don't even know who she is. I didn't know a lot about her. Mm-hmm. I heard the name. But there's not a lot in the mainstream media. There's not a lot. I mean, we have movies that are around Caucasian man who led the Stonewall riot fights and put these people down to very secondary characters. Stormy was a biracial butch lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Marsha P. Johnson, who was a black transvestite. And then we have your the two that I don't want to say the names wrong.
No, I will. I have. We'll get into it.
Sylvia Rivera
and Jackie Hormona.
Are people of color. And yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I won't get more into it.
Yeah.
And so we have this history in our country, in the world, really, of lessening people of color and women in general. So even in our area, especially we're talking in the late 60s, a group of people that are being oppressed, that they can be arrested just for being queer, they still marginalize the efforts of these women.
Yes. I want to retcon here a little bit. Jackie is not a person of color. Sylvia.
Oh, that's
Riviera.
Fine. I'm sorry. I got.
That's fine. Yeah, we got carried in the conversation. Sylvia Riviera, who's often mentioned in this conversation as Stonewall, is. We'll get into their story here in a little bit, but a person of color. But Jackie was not a person of color. Very, very much not. But we'll get into that in a little bit. Yeah. But I just wanted to make sure for those who are listening, that was a whoopsie. Please go on.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, sorry, I got way off on myself.
Right, we got so excited about this conversation. History! All right, go on.
All right, what is really cool about Stormy is that this, first of all, I love the fact that until I read more, I honestly didn't know Stormy was female. I assumed it was another transvestite. So I love to find this out, that she's this strong person. She worked as the MC. She was a bouncer. She was a bodyguard. She was a singer. She actually patrolled.
Really?
She patrolled the village as one of the guardians of the lesbians.
Oh my gosh. Like our angels at Pride. I love it so much.
She, again, so talking, she was biracial. Her father was white. Her mother was African-American, who worked for the family. And she actually never knew when she was born. She never actually got an actual date of birth. So she always just celebrated her birthday on December 24th, which, okay. For me, I am sure there's some reason she did that, some great reason. But to me, it would have been, well, hell, pick the other side of the year. Right. So, and again, the sad story about being bullied and harassed her school years and shit.
You're different, so let's be.
Yeah, every one of us who is queer or even just different has experienced that throughout our lives. So that's nothing, sadly, nothing new. But anyway, that's, I love this. It talks about that she was part from 1955 to 69.
Uh-huh.
Stormy toured the Black theater circuit as the MC and only drag queen of the drag queen king, sorry, as the MC and only drag king of the Jewel Box Review, North America's first racially integrated drag review.
Okay.
She was at the Apollo Theater in Harlem. So we're talking a place that one of my idols, Billie Holiday, sang at.
Okay.
She was there. And speaking of which, her inspirations were Dinah Washington and Billie Holiday, both of whom she knew in person. So we're talking about this, this woman who could kick ass. Obviously, she was a bouncer. And then she performed at the Apollo. She was a baritone, performed at the Apollo, was an MC, and still had time and wanted to do all this stuff to help her community. She said, and then I'm almost done with my part on this one.
You're good.
She said that she was asked why she did all this stuff. And she said, because when I was a kid, people helped me out. If it hadn't been for those people helping me out,
right,
I wouldn't be where I am.
Right.
So she's doing a true pay it forward.
Right. Thank you.
She, and again, as stereotyping here, I know, but as a lesbian, she got shit done.
Which is, if my Twitter was get shit done with Holly Ray.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, and she literally, she was of this group of people we're talking about, was the only one who was an activist before Stonewall. She was the only one that actually did things that, you know, to help gays out before Stonewall. She had was doing helping with the homeless, guarding the district, all the stuff she was doing before Stonewall.
Yeah, a real fighter, literally and figuratively.
Yes. I just have to read about her obituary, then we'll move to the next one. I know we want to keep all these short. Her obituary said, and she died at 85 years old, I want to say in 1992, I believe. So tall, androgynous, and armed, she held a state gun permit. Ms. DeLavori roamed lower 7th and 8th Avenues and points between into her 80s, patrolling the sidewalks and checking in at lesbian bars. She was on the lookout for what she called ugliness, any form of intolerance, bullying, or abuse of her baby girls.
Mm.
She literally walked the streets of downtown Manhattan like a gay superhero. She was not to be messed with by any stretch of the imagination. That was the obituary that was done in the New York Times.
Wow. Just wow.
She was involved every gay movement from before Stonewall up until her death. She was part of the National LGBTQ Wall of Honor. She was part of the wall that has the 50th anniversary of Stonewall Riot. She's one of the pictures of that on it. She is one of the people that is recognized throughout, mainly, sadly, in the New York area with the gay community. Because, again, she is not known too much outside of that area. Because if you look at even the Wikipedia page that talks about Stonewall, it mentions this that little bit, and that's it. You have to really look into more of her life. There's a movie.
I'm really surprised, greatly surprised that there was so little.
Because she's a woman. She's a butch lesbian.
Right.
Which is, you know, biracial. Biracial. And she was a woman. It gets down to that, you know. And none of these people were, you know, we're talking really Marsha P. Johnson is the one that got the best known. And that's only in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
She was, Marsha P. Johnson, which I'll get into now, if you're okay, they're just going straight to her.
Yeah, let's roll right in. Marsha, yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, Marsha herself has stated that she really did not get involved with the rights until she was sort of forced to. And that's what happened at Stonewall for her. I love the fact, I will say this one more, about the four of them and others. We're really limited to these four, but
there were definitely other people involved. Others,
yeah, who all, this was the point where they finally go, and fuck you, we're doing this.
That's right.
We're sick of this shit. And Marsha P. Johnson was one of those people. Marsha P. Johnson started off as Michael, as Malcolm Michaels, became Marsha P. Johnson when she moved to New York. She got the Johnson from the Howard Johnson chain, and she liked the name Marsha, the P, just because she liked how it all sounded together. Oh, and it was, and she told a judge at one point, when asked what does the P stand for, she said, pay it no mind, judge, which I love. And so
was the charges were dropped and they were let go. Just saying.
Oh yeah, sorry. I should say, yeah, that's, you're right. That she charmed them. I always like to say that
there was a charisma about Marsha P. Johnson, and I would say largely why we have more information about Marsha P. Johnson is that there's this natural charisma and draw towards them. This is something that's often described about Marsha P. Johnson, is that people were often drawn to them because they just had a very charismatic personality. They were advocates. They loved people. They would get money and immediately give it back to somebody in the community. They themselves, Marsha had nothing, was living off of the streets. But if they got money, they would give it to a youth of the community that was living on the street and been kicked out by family and like looking out for them. Sorry, I'm just.
Well, no.
We can
both talk about Marsha. We know a lot about her. One of my favorite stories when we were looking at all the stuff is talking about when she and her roommate.
Is it the cookies?
Yeah, when they got the cookies, they scraped up their money and got a $2 bag of cookies, and they wanted cookies, and they wanted to go to the park and eat the cookies, and so on the way they would go by and. And somebody would look hungry or just march aside, they needed a cookie or, you know, so they were giving cookies, you know, down, and they finally got to the park to sit down and eat, and all the cookies were gone because Marsha gave them all away. I love that about her.
Because it really speaks about who they were in their, during their life. It's like they had nothing, but still managed to give something.
Oh, and it's also the fact you're talking about that light. People talk about her light, that she had this light there. A lot of the because Greenwich Village was a place for a lot of immigrants to go, and a lot of them thought that she was a goddess. She would sleep under the tables of people selling flowers in the Flower District of Manhattan. And she did this because it was a safe place to sleep and those people would protect her.
Right.
But they honestly, a lot of them thought of her as a god. She was a goddess. She was closer to the god presence than they were because of their beliefs. She just seemed like such a special person.
Right. Which, again, is another evidence-based, you know, we go as people who are historians that go back and look at history and look at documents and conversations. This is a prevalent theme of Marsha P. Johnson's life.
Yeah.
There was this charisma. I call it charisma. Maybe there was something more to it.
No, I think charisma is a perfect word.
People were drawn to it. And I think that is largely why we see Marsha P. Johnson portrayed mostly as like the leader or the most iconic person or personality or whatever you want to say of Stonewall. Even though there were numerous other people involved, that is the one name that you see ubiquitously just pop up, Marsha P. Johnson.
Well, you know, and the funny thing about it, when we're talking about this stuff, really the only person that is for sure was there from the beginning, who was truly there of these four that we're talking about, was Stormy.
Well,
the others came in later, or there's question if they were even there or not.
Not necessarily with Zazu Nova and Jackie Hormona, which I'll get into in just a moment, as to why that is the case. But definitely with Sylvia Rivera, which we'll get into that when you're done with Marsha, as to why that might be actually true.
And so I love, again, saying this, they all were huge helping out in gay rights.
Absolutely.
Marsha P. Johnson... I just like saying the whole name. Marsha P. Johnson.
Right.
Was Marsha P. Johnson.
Marsha.
Was she did sit-ins. She was she with Sylvia got together and got places for homeless youth to stay in. And we've heard very differing stories. I don't know. Were you gonna talk about that in your part, Holly? Yeah. I don't wanna. Okay. So Holly will talk about that in her part and I'll interrupt and tell you what's right and what's wrong.
All right, well, fine. We'll
see. We'll do that. So they did some amazing things to help these people. I love the fact that Marsha has said that she did not want to really become an activist, but she was forced into that role. She had to become one or probably die, and she did end up dying. So under very mysterious circumstances. But she was, you know, I don't want to just go on the activist part. She was also, she was a singer. She performed throughout her career. She was, from all accounts, she made a lot of money being a sex worker. Whether sad or not, she always at least said that she was really good at it and she enjoyed doing that. So not knowing, because counseling was involved, truly where that was coming from, we have to sort of honor where she felt with it.
Right.
And usually the money she made being a sex worker went to help homeless teens, homeless transvestites, homeless anybody. And I say teens because it wasn't just the gay population of teens. That was a big one, but she helped.
Teens in general that were on the
streets. Teens in general. She was, and again, I know this is much more part of yours, but she was, she and Sylvia were asked not to be involved in the first true gay pride parade.
Oh, yes. The whole gays push the transgender. Yeah.
And so Sylvia, Marsha P. Johnson is going to kind of repay it, no mind kind of thing. You know, she's pissed, but just sort of let it go. Your girl, not so much. I know you'll get into that part of it.
I probably won't jump into it too much.
So really what it was,
please.
They were asked not to be part of it, or basically told they couldn't be
part of Pride. So basically Pride happens because of Stonewall,
because of
these specific individuals, largely transgendered individuals of color. And they were asked not to participate for a variety of different reasons. They were asked not to participate largely because these individuals represented the outliers of what what we would consider like the normal bell curve.
Yeah, the quote unquote normal people.
Normal LGBTQ people. People that were more, maybe got more pizzazz or flair or color or.
That looked more cis.
Attitude that looked more cis.
And I mean, that's what, you know, that's not the terminology they knew then, but yes. they looked more normal.
And that was a problem for a large portion of the community at the time, because they were fighting for rights in a very very heterosexual environment that, whoa, we have to deal with these sensitive white people who are straight and can't handle anything besides that. We need to look like them. We need to act like them. And you transgender individuals of color are the problem. And we can't have you being part of the pride. Ooh, because you might scare people. Bullshit. I look forward to that in Pride. Just saying.
Part of that, I'm not, and by no means defending what they said. Part of it is kind of true.
It is true.
Because whenever we go to any Pride that we've been to, you or I, Holly, or us separately, or any kind of thing that talks about the queer community, if it's on the news, the only people you see are the flouncy twink or the really butch woman. You don't see the 95% of people that look like everybody else.
You don't, because that's what gets the coverage. Yeah. And we've talked about this in previous shows. Yeah. You have to start somewhere to start moving in the direction to make change. There's always got to be that first step. If it's Will and Grace, Will and Grace was stereotypic and it was bad for all these reasons. It's like, yeah. It was also the first step in a direction that led us to Schitt's Creek and numerous other videos and movie productions and things like that that are more representative of our community. You have to start somewhere. And this particular situation, although I do not agree with it,
no.
I can understand potentially where they were coming from at the time. They didn't want to scare away potential people that could be fighting for their rights and legislation for those rights. And at the time, you're operating with a very limited understanding, largely influenced by huge discrimination and hate. People were regularly being abused, beaten, killed, raped, and jailed. And then within the jail system, abused, raped, and, you know, all these things were happening. And there's a large fear. AIDS was coming in.
Not yet.
But it, not at this point, but it was starting to kind of come into the picture in a few years. It's just, I get it.
15 or so.
15 years, yeah. Is it 15? I was thinking it was like 5 to 10, but maybe it was 15.
No.
Yeah, it was 69. You're right. So.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm not the historian of this podcast. That would be...
The person who's lived longer. I get it.
I understand you're saying old farts. Anyway. I don't agree with it. I can understand it.
Oh,
I don't agree with it.
And the last thing I'll say about this is that with the thing that's very sad, and just you see it happening even in today's world, is that you see women marginalized. You see Blacks, Hispanics. Mm-hmm. You see any people of color. See marginalized.
Yep. Exactly.
And it's sad that in amongst our community that happens, and it still happens to this day. Yep. I know that personally in my line of work, I have a better shot at a new managerial job than a woman of color. I know that. And I will say that in my company itself, they are amazing with it. So, but I know that at the place I work, even though I can hear, when I'm in interviews, I'll hear hate in some people's voices that I'm interviewing. I still know I have a better shot at that job. Say you and I, Holly, let's even start there. You and I, if we had the exact same experience, very likely I will have a better shot at that job than you would.
Oh yeah. And I know,
which is sad.
I know from my experience and facts that I get paid less than someone who goes into like myself and someone who presents as a male going in for a job. The fact that I'm a female, I am lucky to even have my resume reviewed, but I am that oh, diversity pick. We'll have them in the interview. So then we have the interview. And if I don't wow them enough to continue that conversation, it's done and over. And it's not because of anything else. I have the credentials. I have the experience. I have the leadership. I know what I'm doing. I can get it done. I learn quick and can make it happen. I get shit done. But someone who comes in who is a who's like very quiet, timid male who has the same credentials, they're going to likely get that job and get paid more.
Well, and also just, and this goes, and then of course, if there was me there with a straight male, they're going to get the job if we have the exact same qualification.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, cause you're maybe a little young for it, but I've always loved the saying. I'm hoping I'm saying it right, that Gloria Steinem was the one who originally said it, that Ginger Rogers had the same job as Fred Astaire, but she had to do it backwards and in high heels.
Yes.
And that just says it all to me. It always has, you know? So I think the last thing I want to say about Marsha P. Johnson is that she was found floating in the river on July 6th, 1992.
Yeah.
Under very suspicious circumstances. They said it was suicide, but later on was proven to be murder. But we're talking 15 years, 20 years later.
And there was a large group of people that were advocating for that investigation to be reopened because it was not clearly a suicide.
Because this was a Black transvestite.
Yep, it just got written off.
Yeah, just completely. That's a suicide. We don't care. Even though there was reports of a guy talking about killing a Black transvestite. It was never looked into.
No.
So it just, again, says how marginalized this particular group of people was. And again, the bravery all these women had.
That cold case gets solved. Just saying.
We sort of got way off sidetrack on my two, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so let's, because we, I don't want to, our episode's going to go a little bit longer today because we're going to get into our core corner, but we also have Jackie, and I forgive me if I mispronounce the name, but Jackie Hormona and Zazu Nova. Now, these two are individuals that we know very little about. I've looked into this because I know there are historians that looked into this, and you can learn more about them, not much more, but you can learn a little bit more about them in the book Stonewall, The Riots That Sparked the Gay Revolution by David Carter. Now, these two individuals, again, very little known. Jackie was an individual who we believe their name was Jack Daniel Whitehall, became involved in the Gay Liberation Front that was formed after the Stonewall Riots, was at the Stonewall Riots, and we know that because and some of the pictures that we see that are iconic pictures of the Stonewall, you do see this blonde dude who never claimed to be drag per se, but would wear some makeup, but primarily dressed male, traditionally presented male, but was a huge supporter of the community, was always involved in the activities that were there, was involved in the Gay Liberation Front. Zazu Nova. Nova gave themselves, I love the pizzazz of this one, queen of sex, and was known to carry herself as actual royalty. This individual has got some, I would just say, some dark skeletons from what I was able to glean about this individual. Maybe committed murder. We don't really know, but definitely had quite the reputation of don't fuck with this individual. Like she was very much, I will throw back. I will fight back. She's also believed to be the one to actually throw the first brick because one, they're photographed being there. Two, it really falls in line with the personality and their previous history with police. Also just their just relationship with Stormy and kind of the shit that was going down at that time. It really falls in line. And the fact that Marsha themselves has said they were not there at that time when that event happened. So this is the other woman of color who's dressed as drag, who fought back and was photographed actually being there. So we have physical evidence as well. They became involved in the Gay Liberation Front as well. She was also one of the founding members of the New York Gay Youth and was involved in the street action transvestite revolutionaries which is an organization that was started by Johnson, Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera. So that takes us into Sylvia here. Sylvia was someone who was known for just making these stories up and just be very creative and embellished on stories. They were not, I personally believe they were not actually at the Stonewall riots. And the reason for that is because they themselves give several different accounts as to where they are. Individuals that were there that day have no recollection of Sylvia being there, but the individuals who were at the bar having cocktails with them specifically remember that Sylvia was not there because they were at a different bar having drinks together. When Marsha called Sylvia out and said, "You know you weren't there," Sylvia did back off on that story and didn't play that up much anymore. But that didn't stop Sylvia from being a prolific individual for gay rights in general. They got heavily involved in the Gay Liberation Front. They were obviously close friends with Marsha. They co-founded together the Street Transvestite Action Revolutionary, which is abbreviated as STAR. Her activism began in 1970 after she joined the Gay Liberation Front later becomes known as the Gay Activist Alliance, or GAA. And she fought for rights, not only just for like gay people, but also the inclusion of drag queens as well, which there's a delineation there. And they fought for the individual rights. She was also involved in advocating for homeless queer youth and fought for Sexual Orientation Non-Discrimination Act in New York, so which is abbreviated as SONDA. It prohibits the discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in employment, housing, public accommodation, education, credit, and the exercise of civil rights. And if you are in the United States, familiarize yourself with the 14th Amendment. You're welcome. So it's seriously important. You're going to talk about civil rights. You need to know the 14th Amendment, because that is largely where we hang our hat on, because it talks about human beings. And there's a whole, just check it out. It's worth it. It's a short read. Just check it out. If you're in the United States, it's good to know. If you're reading your own constitution, there's a rough template. It's not perfect, but there's a template out there you can use and improve on.
Anyway. Well, we're pretty sure that the only person who was there at the very beginning was Stormy.
Yes.
Yes. And that it's pretty much been proven now that Sylvia Rivera wasn't there at the time, but she also became the most outspoken person.
Absolutely.
She also
regularly gay speeches, regularly attended events, regularly was bringing people together, was a regular active activist making changes for us all.
And plus, she was also, I want to make sure we're talking about women of color, that she was from the Latinx group. So she was
really, Puerto Rican, Venezuelan descent.
Yes. And so she was big with that. And it's good that, because looking through the stuff, I think it's telling me both of you realize looking through these things, mm-hmm. there really isn't a huge Latin,
which I'm going to get into in here just a second. You're kind of going into my next point here.
Perfect.
Why I think we don't hear a lot about, obviously we've covered why we don't hear a lot about the women in Stonewall.
Yeah.
I will just give you one word, women, is as the why. The second and equally important, and I firmly believe this to be even more, maybe potentially even more important than the fact that women, is the discrimination within our own community, the LGBTQ community, as well as those outside of that community, discriminating based off of the color of skin. And that was a huge part that Sylvia dealt with a lot in their activism, is facing discrimination within our community, but also outside of the community. On top of that, still fighting for equal rights for transvestite, gay, lesbian, and drag rights. So you kind of touched up on it a little bit, but that was a bit on top of that, there was poverty. There's a lot of friction between the individuals within that, within those communities, within the LGBT community, who gets to go to Pride and represent the community and who doesn't get to go, and really whitewashing things. We saw that when we see Stonewall, the movie, being whitewashed. We see that in a lot of historical documentations early on, is being whitewashed. But really,
I think the other thing, especially with the Latin community, even to a degree with the African-American, well, with the African-American community too, is the other part we're forgetting about is that, and boy, if I'm wrong, some listener, please let me know this one, but from everything I've read, there, Holly, you and I think our cultures are bad about accepting us. The African-American community and the Latinx community are a lot worse about accepting people who are different, who are queer. So I think that's part of it also.
Oh, yeah. You the community themselves, based off of the
community themselves. It's not, yeah, just,
or
yeah.
Ethnic.
The ethnic.
Ethnic. There that we go. That's the word.
It seems to be, if you look, that's, you'll look at reports.
There's some history there that we would have to go into in terms of a whole nother show. But there is, I mean, you have Spanish, for example, there are male and female words. There's a whole language system that's made off of masculine and feminine terminology. And we have numerous other cultures that have that similar root created into their culture. And we even have it here in the United States. We have a very male, sexist-driven community. We have laws that were based on primarily white males saying what
all men are created equal,
but it's not all men.
Yeah.
And there's women are less than, and they're less than dogs. And, you know, there's so much that happens around the gender identity that ends up influencing culture, that ends up leading into these sub communities, these subcultures, ours being the LGBTQ and, or the queerdundrum community. You're welcome. I get a little goofball here, but it happens. And one of the things I hope we can achieve here with this podcast is that we can start breaking down those barriers within our own community. We already face discrimination because of our identity and our relationships. We don't need to add on that by being discriminatory towards someone else because of their religion, their color of their skin, whatever. Pick it.
Oh yeah. Go on to any website, go any place to look at platforms where talking about queer anything, and you're going to find within our own community people saying, well, why is the plus involved in it? Or why do we have the trans as part of the queer community? I mean,
right.
That's a huge conundrum that I don't think we'll be able to answer anytime in the future.
No, and I don't intend to answer it. I intend to address those specific issues by utilizing this podcast to educate people on the terminology, educate people on the community, and to create an environment where people can share their stories anonymously or otherwise, but bring people together to break down those barriers. Because when you start breaking that down, a lot of this is just bigotry that's been ingrained in someone else that was taught to them by their parents or their community or their peers. And it just needs to be, as I call, sandpaper people need to come in there and kind of rough out those edges and bring to light the truth that is, we are all deserving of love. We're all deserving of dignity and respect. And we can achieve that once we start to understand what that relationship is and what that looks like.
Adding to that just a little bit, I just want to make sure that everybody understands we all have that. There's not a single one who doesn't have those kind of prejudices. They're part of us. It's how we've survived as humans throughout the centuries.
There is an evolutionary reason why we have that ingrained in us as a species. That doesn't say we have to default to that and that's the excuse we have to live with. No, we don't have to.
It's a good learning tool.
One of the goals that I intend with our podcast is to address the language, the culture, the community, and that includes addressing these biases that we have. We all have biases. They are evolutionarily designed into us for a very specific reason, defense. But we live in a new type of society. We have to look at those biases and say, is this a true thing? Do we need to be afraid? No. Okay. And that is okay. We have those. But we do not need to discriminate against someone, especially when you already are part of a community that's discriminated against. Like, hello. People just need to treat one another with dignity and respect. And we need to judge people on their actions, right? There are things that we can say, yep, that was a bad choice. I don't approve of that. I'm still going to treat you with dignity and respect, but I'm going to tell you that that was stupid. Not because their color, their skin, their religion, their gender identity, who they love. Those are not things that we need to be judging on. We need to be calling people out on their behaviors. So however that looks like for you, that is our intention here on this podcast, is to educate. Like, we're not going to be able to address.
And educate us.
Educate us. Oh, yeah, for sure. But we're not going to be able to address that larger issue with that huge conundrum of LGBTQ community, excluding the T and asking these questions. Like, why do we have the T? Why do we have the Q? Why is this? What? We're not going to be able to address that. All we can do is just have these conversations and grow together as a community and give you a voice, whether it's anonymously or otherwise, but give you a voice and a platform to share that so we can continue to grow as human beings.
Very good. Very well put.
Okay. So I say, hey, if you're good, I'm good. We should roll into our conundrum where we talk about some of the questions that we got in our social media.
I'm amazing, but whatever.
Oh, sorry. Yes. You're amazing. Go on.
I'm amazing. That's all I need to say. I think we all know that already. I'm just saying, I thought it needed to be, I'm amazing. So not just good.
I'm practicing love and dignity and respect when I say, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you.
Welcome to our queer corner.
That was cool, man. Nice. So we're taking some questions that we got from our social media. And one of the questions from Tawny is, what makes a gay icon an icon?
And I have been put with the task of answering that question. So for you, Tawny, and for me, actually, because this is a question we've been sort of asked, so I thought I should look into it. So there's really no definitive answer. I was looking, oh my gosh, literally 3 days of just looking at different things on it. But the biggest consensus is that gay icons, I'm answering why gay men mainly go towards female icons. So is that correct? I'm doing that part, and you're doing the other part, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So sorry. So yeah. So I'm doing the part about the female, why the gay males tend to gravitate towards female icons. The biggest reason, and really I think we can say this overall, is that women are more accepting of gay men to begin with. That's just usually, it's a given. Women do not find gay men as a sexual being, you know, there's not something they don't have to worry about.
There's no threat. There's no awkwardness of, oh, this is, not oh, you guys about, are in a relationship together. There's something that's inappropriate. Well,
and you're not, a woman is not worried about, say, me looking at her boobs as I'm talking to her. It just, you know, I'm just not going to do it because I just don't care. I'm just saying, you know, their boobs, great, you know. So that's the first part of it is that, but, and also it's, to the stuff that I learned about, it's showing that gays tend to go towards women more as icons because throughout history, again, going kind of back to what we're talking about with the Stonewall riots, women have been marginalized just like gay men have been marginalized. Mm-hmm. So they tend to go towards, you know, it's easier for a gay man to identify with a woman who has already been marginalized, mm-hmm, instead of trying to identify with a straight man. And even then, when you get, for the longest time, all actors, and we're talking mainly about, because a lot of the icons are from the entertainment field, mm-hmm, if a male was gay or a female was gay, they were closeted. So there was nobody they could look up to. So you look up to the strong women, the Joan Crawfords, the Elizabeth Taylor, Judy Garland, who was like, especially for my age group, was the one that was the big gay icon who, right, from the 60s on through today was from my age group. That was the one that everybody gravitated towards because, first of all, she was one of the first entertainers to recognize her, at least her male gay fan base. Mm-hmm. She recognized them.
Madonna, actually, Janet Jackson, Judy Garland. Yes, all of them. But,
and so remember, Judy Garland was way before.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
So way she before. Really, like, yes. Yeah.
So she was at least strong in that way where she was.
Friends of Dorothy was a common phrase for.
Exactly. For that Garland. Was a way to like, call. That was a name that used to be associated with gay men. Mm-hmm. When you said so-and-so is friends of Dorothy, you knew that meant that they were gay.
So much like the phrase, are you of the family?
Yeah.
That we hear now within our community is like, oh, are you of the family? Are you of the LGBTQ community?
And exactly.
So friends and of Dorothy was a common one for some of you folks.
And that actually even before my time, quite honestly, that was something that was not even part of my, the first time I,
50s.
Yeah. So this is like 40s, way, 50s, be, way yeah. before me, but that's how, that was a way to know that somebody was gay. And the other part of it was, is that she was damaged. We know this about her. You could see her in performances that she would be drunk or stoned and, or that she was just frail and needed help. And so they're saying this made the gay men want to go towards her. And if you look at a lot of the women that the gay icons are either fragile, popular women or very strong, mm-hmm. popular women. And so this is where people are saying that. And I can believe that. And again, there was never for the gay man, there was never until really recently a gay out actor to look towards as a role model. So you took what you could get. Like we could get more into talking about Bewitched, which is a major gay icon because it showed that witches were trying to live in normal human society and not let people know they were witches. And so the gay people could look at that and identify with the series Bewitched for that reason, that at least they saw something from it. Then you get the people as of today where you've got a Beyonce who is just out there and proud and she's mm-hmm. a strong, magnificent woman, beautiful woman who could give a flying fuck what other people think about her. She's said this.
Right.
And you see that now with the gay kids, the gay males who are growing up now, who are much stronger in who their personality is, they love her for that. She's like, fuck you all. I'm doing this. You know,
right.
I got this. I'm beautiful. I got it. And she'll do whatever she wants to, along with like put Jennifer Lopez in that category. So this is a lot of where this comes from, Tani, is looking for the strong, accepting woman who doesn't give a fuck what other people think. So Tani, really, you are probably somebody's Pullman gay icon. Because you're a strong woman who does not give a fuck what they
and
think.
And you get shit done.
And you get shit done. And honestly, I know how accepting you are of the queer community. And yep. I'm sure there's a lot of the younger gay college students who probably really look up to you.
And feel safe in their establishment.
Yeah.
Like, I personally feel safe when I'm in your establishment. Yeah. Like, I know that, like, we don't have, like, a gay scene, like a gay lesbian scene. Like,
there's more of a gay scene there. There's more there than there is.
Even though that's not like a brand, that's not a brand thing that Tani goes for, but it is a clear
scene. She's very supportive.
I am very supportive of this community and including in this community that I'm saying I'm supportive of is also the LGBTQ community. And not just saying, hey, I'm supportive of the community and washing your hands of it, is actually making a statement and saying, no, here's my flag and here's me saying it and here's me supporting it.
She walks the walk and talks the talk.
Exactly what I was getting to.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're exactly right. The other question is why is Gloria Gaynor's song, I Will Survive, popular in the queer community? And it really plays on what you just said, Gary, is that Gloria had... their album was turned down. They were dropped by different music labels and was just having a terrible time, both just confronting her ex, dealing with their music career, being a woman of color, dealing with all this shit and just trying to literally survive as an artist, comes out with this song, I Will Survive. And this song identifies so much with our community in that we are dealing with being outsided and being having to rely on someone else to bring us to our own success. When really it's like, no, I will create my own success. I will make this happen. And I feel like for me, I didn't really identify with this song necessarily as the lesbian of who I am, but as a woman, like, I will survive. I will find a way. I will get this done. I specifically just, I love that it gives, it's like an anthem. Like, I might not.
It's a gay anthem. I mean, I know you're talking more.
Yeah. I can't say that word. Anthem. Is it anthem?
Yeah. Anthem. Okay. A-T-H-E-M.
Okay. Yeah. I will just let you and our listeners know I struggle with the English language, primarily because that is the only language I can speak fluently. Question mark on that. If I haven't heard and see the
word. She's fluent in pig Latin, I just have to say.
I'm in piracy as well. if I don't see the word written out and pronounced at the same time, the first time, if I hear it wrong at some point before that I hear it correctly, I will say it wrong almost every single time. There's something about the visual and the audio happening at the same time that there's a rewrite that has to happen if someone tells me the wrong pronunciation. Anyway.
Pronunciation.
Same thing with pool and pole and pool. P-O-O-L, P-O-L-E, P-U-L-L. They all sound the same. And I can't change that. Like, I've tried, and there have been extensive conversations.
Well, that could be really bad in a sexual situation when
it
they're
really
saying
pole. I do not make that my safe word. I will just tell you that. This is not a safe word I would use.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Said pull. Okay, I get it.
I got it. No. Pull. Oh, my gosh. No, it's fine. That's a really high level reason why that is the anthem, is that there's a strong, powerful woman behind it. Again, we're seeing a thing that has played out throughout history. There's a strong woman behind it, and typically a strong woman of color behind it. Change is going to happen.
I also want to say that it also gained special significance with the gay community during the huge, when AIDS was really prevalent. They took that anthem because they were going to survive no matter what. Mm-hmm. And so it's a song that, whether she meant it that way or not, it's just completely embraced by so many, like you said, so many marginalized communities, because it says it's a fun song, but at its root, it says, I'm going to survive no matter what you fucking throw at
me. Right. And my success is my success.
Yeah. And fuck you if you don't believe it.
And if you guys have questions, please connect with us on our Facebook, on our Instagram, on our Twitter. And we throw out questions. We do polls. And if we don't, message us. Just send us a direct message or email us and let us know, hey, I have a weird question. What about this? And we will do our best to answer it in our queer corners. And if it's enough of an interest has been generated on a particular topic, we'll make it the main topic of our show. That's how this works, baby. We're here for you.
As much as we love to hear ourselves talk, and we do, it doesn't do much good if nobody's listening to us.
That is.
We'll
still talk. It's just more entertaining to do it with you guys. So.
Because we have egos. We like to know that somebody's listening to how amazing we are.
Well, who doesn't have egos? Anyway, that is our show. Thank you so much. Truly, thank you so much for being here, for listening to us, engaging with us. We really appreciate each and every one of you. Like, subscribe, follow, engage with us on our social media accounts so we can stay connected with you. We love you guys. And until next time we speak with you and your ears, be well.
And be queer.
Thank you for connecting with us on this week's Conundrum.
Connect with us on Facebook,
Instagram,
Twitter,
at Queernundrum Podcast,
and email us at queernundrum@queernundrum.com.
and please rate and review us on iTunes. Until then, peace and be well.
And be queer.